Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 50 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers, Allah Azza wa Jal says in Quran Kareem, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Those who said Allah is our Lord, and then they were steadfast on that. Angels descend upon them. When this ayah kareema was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is the quality of my ummah. In fact, this refers to the world of souls. Because in the world of souls, Allah Azza wa Jal asked all the souls, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ All of them said, yes, why not? You are our Lord. But many came in this dunya and they forgot about this commitment. Jews, they started believing that Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam is son of God. And Christians started believing that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is son of God. They started worshipping Isa alayhi salam and believed in Trinity. And Hindus, they started worshipping idols. And there are many other people, some worship fire, some worship sun, some moon, some water, some mountains, some elephants, like other animals. So they did make a promise in the world of souls, and they said that, oh Allah, you are our Lord. But when they came in this dunya, they forgot about that promise and they started worshipping other than Allah. But the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the only people who in the world of souls said Allah is our Lord, and till today Muslims are the one who are saying Allah is our Lord. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this ayat is for my ummah. This is what is called steadfastness, firmness, that you don't change from your religion. There are several definitions which are given by our great elders and sahaba-e-kiram regarding istiqamat, regarding steadfastness on deen. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that istiqamat means to be firm on the aqeedah of Islam. You don't change your aqaid at any cost. Not because of any fear, and not because of any greed, or not because of any business relationships, as we find that people do change very quickly because they see some favors on the other side. So the firmness on deen is that in no circumstances you sacrifice your Islamic creeds, your aqaid. This is the definition of istiqamah given by Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And according to Hazrat Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, istiqamat means that your actions must be free from showing off. There must not be riya in it, there must not be a show off in it. Because when someone does something with the intention of showing off, then that action is not for Allah Azza wa Jal. It is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah that there will be many people that their namazes will be thrown on their face, their charities, their hajj, their zakat, their partaking in jihad, even shahadat, their martyrdom, all these sacrifices would be thrown on their face, and they will be told that there is no share for you in the akhirah. You have not done these actions to please Allah Azza wa Jal. You needed name and fame in the dunya. So people can talk good about you. So they have spoken good about you. That is your reward which you have received in the dunya. In the akhirah there is no share for you. So according to Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, istiqamat means to do your actions with ikhlas, with complete sincerity, no show off. And according to Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, istiqamat means that you must be punctual with your faraiz and with your wajibat. Because farz and the wajib are the duties which are demanded by Sharia. And you must not neglect that at any cost. Namaz is farz, you have to perform. When you are capable of going for hajj, you must go for hajj. When you are sahib nisab, you must pay your zakat. These are faraiz. So every farz and wajib must be performed, and if a person is punctual and he is consistent with performance of faraiz and wajibat, then indeed he has got the gift of istiqamat. He is firm on deen. He has attained firmness and steadfastness in the deen. Even though steadfastness is very difficult, to do something regularly is not easy. To do something constantly is not easy. It is very easy for people to do something occasionally. As we find that on big nights, a lot of people get together and they would even spend the whole night in nawafil and worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. But the very same people are not found in the masjid in other days. Because that is an occasional thing. Occasional thing is much easy. But firmness and steadfastness is difficult. Even though it is difficult, but its fruit is very sweet. Therefore, Sufiya Ikram have consensus and they say, Al-istiqamatu khayrun min alfi karamatin, that one istiqamat is better than 1,000 miracles. In other words, that it is easy to perform 1,000 miracles, it is easy to show 1,000 karamats, but it is difficult to be firm on the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore in Islam, the standard of vilayat is not a miracle. Standard of vilayat is not a karamat. Standard of vilayat is not that you perform something supernatural. Standard of vilayat is that you must be punctual and firm on the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that is most difficult. The person who came to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi radiallahu ta'ala anhu with the intention of taking bayah, becoming his murid, because he heard a lot about him, that he heard that he's a great sheikh. Now he comes with his own ordinary mind, and he said, I will go and spend some time in his khanqah, and if I'm impressed, I will become his murid, I'll take bayat on his hand. But if I'm not impressed, then I will not become his murid. So he spends 3 months in the Khanqah of Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And after 3 months when he is leaving, Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him that, you came and you spent 3 months with me. You never mentioned anything why you came. What was your reason? What was your intention? And today you're leaving. And this man opened up and he said, look, Shaykh, I came with the intention of becoming your murid. But I thought I will assess you, I will check you, and if I'm impressed, then I will become your murid, but I'm not impressed. So Junayd Baghdadi radiallahu ta'ala asked him that, why are you not impressed? What were you looking for? He said, I was looking for a karamat. I wanted to see you one day flying in the air. Something unusual. I wanted to see that, but I never saw. Therefore, I'm not impressed. So Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi radiallahu ta'ala asked him that, all these 3 months that you have spent with me, have you ever seen me doing something contrary to the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, no. So Junayd Baghdadi radiallahu ta'ala told him that, you have seen my istiqamat and you are not impressed. And you must know that istiqamat is 1,000 times better than karamat. So you are looking for something inferior, and I have shown you something superior. So this is the standard in our deen, that karamat or miracle or performing something unusual or supernatural is not the standard of vilayat. Even a kafir can perform something supernatural. Even a rebellious sinner can perform something supernatural. He can, you know, do something, some karishma. As it is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah that close to Qiyamah, Dajjal will come and Dajjal will show many supernatural acts. He'll have Jannat with him and he'll have Jahannam with him and he'll kill people and he'll make people alive. So is he a wali of Allah? No, indeed he is an enemy of Allah. So therefore, performance of supernatural acts was never a standard of vilayat in Islam. The standard of vilayat in Islam is the punctuality with Sharia, is the punctuality with the Sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, a true believer who has the necessary knowledge with him and he is punctual with the Sira and the Sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is a wali of Allah. And then we are tested for this istiqamah over and over in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us whether we strive towards attaining this beautiful quality or we don't. So when we are happy, we are tested. When we are angry, we are tested. When we are stricken with calamity, we are tested. When we become powerful, we are tested. When from poverty to richness, we are tested. Our conditions change. They change because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us. One Sahabi Rasul became angry on his servant because he ordered him to do something and his servant did not follow his order correctly. When he came back, this Sahabi Rasul got angry and he broke a branch from the tree, a stick, and he started hitting him, started giving him hiding. So somebody called from the back and said to him that, oh man, today your servant has not obeyed you. He has disobeyed you and you are angry and you are punishing him. Don't forget that you also have a master. and you have disobeyed many of his orders. And the day he will get angry, the day he will punish you, there will be nobody to rescue you. So fear him. And then he turned his face and he looked, and there was the beautiful voice of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam disciplined his sahabi that how to react when you are powerful, when you are a master, when you are the boss and other people are working under you, how you must treat with them and how you must deal with them. If they have made a mistake, if they have not followed your certain instructions due to some ignorance or laziness or heedlessness, don't be so hard on them, because you have disobeyed many of the orders of your Master Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and He has forgiven you many a times. When we become authoritative in any field, when we become powerful people, when our position changes, somebody is elected as a member of parliament, someone becomes a minister, someone becomes king or prime minister, or a principal of a school, principal of a madrasa, or imam, or head or chairman of an organization, all these are authoritative positions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you at that time, how you behave. Whether you use your authority to spread the goodness, or you use your authority to spread evil. So that's your test. At that time, many people forget. And when they are powerful, they do what their nafs tell them to do. The main constitution that they follow at that time is their feelings. You know, there was a king in Mughal Empire. His name was Shah Jahan. And he was a good king. He was a pious king. And there were many pious kings as well. Every king is not a bad king. So when his father died, and according to the system, he became the king. And there was inauguration. There was opening ceremony of his kingdom. And then of course when there is an opening ceremony of a kingdom, there has to be a party. And you must know that in this kind of parties, ordinary people don't come. Heads of states, you know, members of royal families, ministers, you know, directors of departments, big, big people. And when these big people come, they're all in the mood of ceremony, a party. There must be a music, there must be a dance, there must be some cultural activities. So they all come with that mood. Before Shah Jahan went and sat on his takht, on his throne, he went into sajda. He prostrated. And then he went and he sat on the takht. So people asked him, close by friends, they asked him that, why did you do that? He said, actually, when I was about to sit on the throne, a thought came to my mind that long ago there was a king in Egypt, and his name was Fir'aun. And his country, Egypt, is small, little, tiny country in comparison to my India. Now India, when the Mughals were ruling, we're talking about Pakistan was part of it, Bangladesh was part of it. I mean, as it is, India is a very big country. But if you add Pakistan to it and you add Bangladesh to it, then it becomes even bigger and huge country. So he was the king of that big country. So I'm a king of a very big country. Fir'aun was a king of a small, little, tiny country. His wealth was less than my wealth. His takht was built with elephant's ivory and was not even decorated with diamonds and rubies and other expensive pearls. My takht is made with gold and silver, and it is decorated with diamonds and rubies and other expensive pearls. So I'm more powerful. He was less powerful. He was a smaller king. But when he sat on the throne, pride captured him. And he ended up saying, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, I am your greatest Lord. And he became kafir. So I feared, what if this happens to me? What if pride comes and captures me? And I end up doing the same thing what Fir'aun did. So I put my head down in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, prostrated. I made sajda to acknowledge, Oh Allah, whatever honor and dignity and power you have bestowed upon you, it belongs to you, not to me. I'm just a slave. So this is, there are some people who pass that test when they are powerful. But many of us fail that test when we are powerful. Especially when our condition changes. You know, when we are poor people, every poor person wants to become rich. Because they know money makes life easy. Money buys comforts, luxuries, you know, standard of a good life in the minds of the people is a lot of money. And when people talk about success, they see how many shops he got, how many millions he made, how many houses he got, how many cars he got. So these are our minds. This is how we measure success. But that's not really a success. That's a burden. Because more you have, the more you would be questioned on the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that, O poor people, good news to you. Because the more poor you are, the more less you will be questioned on the day of judgment. Because you have less responsibilities. There are more and more responsibilities on the shoulders that who got a lot of money. So you might feel, you know, very easy life for a few days, but after you close your eyes, then the trouble starts. Unless you do justice. Unless if you are a rich man and you fulfill all your duties and you spend your wealth where it's supposed to spend, then it's a different thing. There are a lot of rich people who are pious, who are responsible, and who spend their wealth accordingly. So I'm not talking about them. They are exempted. But most of the people are ghafil. Most of the people are careless. They just worry to fulfill the desires of their nafs. They use all their money for their own comforts and for their own luxuries. They don't make much contribution to uplift the deen or to remove the poverty or to help people. But anyhow, when you are poor, then you have certain desires. And many people, many poor people, you sit with them. They'll be talking about rich people, criticizing them, condemning them. You know, these stinking rich people, they're so stingy. They don't spend their money on the masjid. They don't spend their money on this. They don't spend their money on that. They don't pay their zakat fully, properly. Otherwise, there'll be no poor person in the town. You hear them talking. But if one of them become rich, then they join the league. Then they become the very same people. Because when condition changes, then you change with that. Now you don't want to have friendship with your poor friends anymore. Now they need to make appointment to sit with you. Who used to sit with you all the time and entertain you. Now they can't freely come to you and meet you. You're no more friend with them. You're now friend with other people who are of the same class money-wise. And trust me that when these people become rich, They had many desires and wishes which they could not fulfill when they were poor. They could not go to casino. They could not have expensive cars with a music of 50,000 or 100,000 rand music in their cars. They could not blast that music because they did not have money. But suddenly you see, these are the very same kind of people that from poverty when they become rich, they are the one who are seen most in casinos. They are the one, they are youngsters, you will see them with expensive cars, with heavy music and with, you know, music blast and moving around every way. So it's a test, we fail the test. Instead of making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and using that money for the right reason, for the right things, people use it for the wrong things and for the wrong reasons. But there are people of Allah that when the condition change, they still remind themselves that I'm still the same person. When Hazrat Ayaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the murid and the khalifa of Hazrat Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi was king, and he called his khalifa, his murid, Hazrat Ayaz, who was a faqir, and he appointed him as a minister. Now when he became a minister, he is now living in the palace. He got protocol. He got security. He was never used to that. So he had a room, isolated room out of the palace, and he put a lock on that. And every day after Asr, he used to go and spend some time and come out. So people suspected that maybe he stole something from the treasury and he's hiding it there, and he goes every day and he sees if it's still there or not there. So they complained to the king, because it was a public complaint. So king attended to that complaint, and one day he went. And Hazrat Ayaz was in the room, and he knocked and he asked him to open. When he opened the door, he saw that there was a steel box lying there and covered with a sheet. So he ordered him to remove the sheet. And he was very embarrassed. And he folded his hands and he told him, please, don't open my secret. So that was actually something to even doubt more, that there is something that is hiding. So Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi went and he removed that sheet. And what he saw in the box, there was one broken pair of shoes. And there was one torn set of clothes. He said, what is this? So Hazrat Ayaz replied that, Huzur, when I came to your court, I was wearing these shoes. And I was wearing this dress. You the one that took me and put me on this position of ministry. You made me minister and put me in the palace and gave me this protocol and security. I'm not used to that. I daily come in this room and wear these shoes and clothes to remind myself that, oh Ayaz, this is your reality. This is where you belong to. So I don't leave any door open for pride to creep in into my heart or into my system. And then Hazrat Mahmud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was his pure murshid, he cried. And he said to Hazrat Ayaz that, oh Ayaz, you are better than us. Because we came in this dunya naked, not even a set of clothes on our body, and we got kingdom and we got power and we got so much of resources and treasures, and we have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are the person that in this position, while you are minister, you have not forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You always reminded yourself what is your reality. So this is what is called istiqamah. And only lucky people get this opportunity. So we must always strive towards this. And if we can attain that, then the good news is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ then angels come down upon them to accompany them. So whenever there's a difficulty, angels are with them. When they're dying, they come and they give the good news. They say, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Oh satisfied soul, turn towards your Lord. He is pleased with you and you are pleased with Him.
Allah.
And when that person who lived his life with the quality of istiqamat, that in the qabr they come, munkar and nakir, and after questioning, they say, Nam ka'urusatin, sleep like a bride. Like a bride, newly wedded bride comes into the house, nobody gives her any work. Nobody puts her to any labor. Nobody says, go clean the kitchen, go wash the dishes, go make the tea because guests are coming. She is newly wedded. She just came. It's her first night. Everyone says, beta, you must rest. You must relax. Only your beloved husband can wake you up from your beauty sleep. So there's a similarity. Angels come and they say to the person, Nam ka'urusatin, sleep like a bride, that nobody will disturb you from your sleep till the day of Qiyamah. Your beloved Allah will wake you up from your sleep. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that beautiful istiqamat, that beautiful quality which every believer should have, and we must strive towards it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our dua and the few words that I have said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon it. Amin bi jahi Nabi al-Amin sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
O Mubarak for you is my prayer. O Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share. O Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep